Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
If you want to turn with me to the Gospel of John, and we'll take a reading from there. Gospel of John, chapter number 3. And when you get there, please stand for the reading of the Word. The Gospel of John, chapter 3. And we'll pick up at verse number 18. Jesus speaking, He said, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned." It's good news this morning. "But he that believeth not is condemned already." And that's bad news. "Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. The thought that the Lord gave me as I sat, and I had a couple of things that I was toying around with and praying about, and the Lord began to reveal, and y'all have just kind of been all over it. The title of the message this morning is "Dead Man Walking."
Bless it.
And I've seen an article, and as I read it, and I've seen documentaries on the same thing of men and women who commit crimes, and they're put in what they call the population. They're put in jail, and they wait there for their sentence. And one day, the judge will call for them, and they'll go before the bar, and that judge will pronounce a life sentence on them, a death penalty, and he'll sentence them to death, and they'll go back to a place where the sheriff will take them, and they won't be put back in that population no more. One place called it a death chamber. Another place called it death row. And you just scoot further down that row, closer and closer to the point in time of your death. And unless you get a commendation or a pardon from the governor, you're going to die.
Amen.
You think about that all day long, every day, sitting there. And every time you see somebody taken out of the cell at one end and taken away, and the next day you move closer, but they don't come back. And I thought how every man since the fall of Adam, we've been put on death row. Amen. Every day, every minute goes by off of my watch, I'm one step closer to my death.
Amen. Amen.
And when I do die, unless I get a pardon from Jesus, unless I know that I have stood before Him and asked Him to save my soul, I'm going to go to a place of torment.
Amen.
There's people around today that are dead men walking.
Amen. Amen.
And I'll talk first about the ones that we know, the ones that are lost, the ones that are without God, the ones that haven't called out on God. By the preponderance of the evidence, whether you are saved or whether you are not, you're going to die.
Amen. Amen.
Life is going to happen to us. Death is approaching us. Death has a job. Yes. Death is behind me. I can feel Him breathing down my neck.
Amen.
But I'm prepared to face Him.
Amen.
Death is no longer to be something that scares me to death. He's not a big guy with a sickle scaring me, trying to take me down. Death is a man, Brother Eddie, that is going to come up and shake my hand and introduce me into something that I believe, that I've held on to, that I know is set out there for me.
Amen. Amen.
Death is should be a crossing over for God's people, not something that we run scared of.
Amen.
Death should be something that we should look at and say, "Yes, I'm prepared for that."
Bless Lord.
How many of you today have an insurance card to protect you in case you're in a car accident? And you know you're not worried about the accident because you can pull out your card and you're covered. You don't want it to happen. I don't think anybody wants to hop in their vehicle. I mean, you can drive across the road and run into a tree if you want to. But I don't think nobody really wants that to happen. But you know that it's going to happen.
Bless Lord.
There's a possibility that you're going to be in a car accident and your car is going to be damaged and tore up, but you have something to cover that. Why won't people today have something to cover their death?
Amen. Amen.
Jesus Christ has given to us.
Amen.
In John chapter 1, He came to His own, and His own didn't receive Him. And He's walking around in this United States We are supposed to be God's people. We're supposed to be God's country. But slowly, one by one, they're rejecting.
Amen.
They don't want to hear it no more. And I know that's what they tell us, that they don't want to hear it, brother. But what they don't want to do is let go of their lifestyle. They want to hear it, but they don't want to make the changes that is needed to follow after God.
Right.
And we can talk about those. And we can talk about those who haven't been born again, like Nicodemus and Jesus. We know what Jesus told Nicodemus now. A lot of folks give Nicodemus a bad rap. A lot of them say, well, he was scared of losing his position, so he snuck around at night and come to Jesus. But I'll tell you what, if your job is for you to be in the temple teaching and discussing the scriptures from daylight to dark, only time you're going to go to Jesus is at night.
That's Lord.
I would rather have a man come to Jesus in the night of his life than not come to Jesus at all.
Amen. Amen, Trey.
And apparently he wasn't too ashamed because he's the one that went and got Jesus' body, him and Joseph. So we got Jesus' body.
Yeah.
But he told Nicodemus something. He said, verily I say unto you, lest a man be born again. He said, well, I don't understand this. Nobody's ever told me about this born again stuff. How is it that it happens? Jesus says, I believe Jesus kind of life said, Nicodemus is just like the wind. Where does the wind come from? Where does it go? You don't know. He's saying you can't answer that. You can't give an answer to that, Nicodemus. But as that wind blows, you don't know where it comes from. You don't know where it goes.
Amen. Amen.
But I tell you, believe on the name. And that's where he comes down. Well, we can flip right there. We're right there, buddy. He tells him. Verse number 8 in chapter 3, he says, the wind blows where it listens, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it come, whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit.
Blessful.
And I believe they're standing out there, and there might have been a breeze going through the trees and said, you know, you don't see the wind, you can't feel the, you can't tell where it come from, but you look up in the trees and you can see the evidence of the wind.
Amen.
You
Amen.
Can feel the wind on your skin. You know when it's blowing.
Amen.
You can see the things, the trees swaying back and forth. You can see the dust kick up off the ground and you can see it begin to be moved. You know. You don't know what it is. You don't know where it come from or how it is. But you know that there's evidence that the change has happened and the wind begins to take place. So we cover those who are lost and without God. And we see those who hear and reject. They just hear about Jesus and they just don't want to hear it. But those aren't the ones that I really want to spend time on, because we really like spending time on them guys in church.
Bless the Lord.
We like to spend time on alcoholics and drug addicts because they don't come close to home. I don't mind a preacher can preach and preach and preach as long as he stays out of my road.
Bless the Lord. Amen.
Well, this morning you might get a little offended.
Bless the Lord.
Because there's also dead men walking in the church.
Amen. Amen.
It's true.
We're all here and we're all dying.
Yeah.
We're walking, waiting. And I wonder how we're going to fare. I wonder what it is that we have done. We know. Look, you don't need me to stand up here and enumerate your sins and try to peg you with one and try to get you to come and pray. I don't get no extra blessing if you come and pray. I'm telling you, if the authority of the Lord speaks to you and says that you need to bring it to the altar.
Amen.
I want to talk about those who walked with Jesus and never allowed Jesus to change them. Let's talk about Judas. Judas was numbered in the 12.
Amen.
Judas heard all of the preaching directly from the mouth of the Lord. Judas was there with him continually. Judas was one of the ones that was commissioned to go out and minister. But Judas never allowed what he heard in the teachings to change him. Judas never allowed everything that Jesus told him to sink in. Maybe Judas sat there and said, you know, that's a good message for John.
Bless you, Lord.
I sure hope Peter's listening to this.
Yeah.
Well, I know how James and John think they're better than everybody else. I hope they're listening to this message Jesus is telling.
And he's so busy directing the word that maybe Judas never let it come in to change his heart, to change who he was. Thinking, well, God just ain't done that to me. He ain't brought me there yet. Boy, I tell him, Brother Donnie, you just hold on yourself.
Bless
the minute you tell me, well, I ain't to that level yet, you're to that level, you're tonight.
Yeah.
We'll get to the disobedience here.
You
had Simon the sorcerer who got saved. He heard the word of the Lord and he accepted the word of the Lord. But he never let it completely cleanse him. Still had that taste for money. Got to be some edge. I mean, I can't work with these lost folks no more because now I'm saved. So there got to be an edge with these Christian folks. How can I get to them? I need to make my money instead of relying on God. I need to do this. I told him the other day in my congregation, I said, you know what amazes me? We don't have time for church.
Bless the Lord.
We just don't have no time. I mean, that's our day off. But let the man come up and say, I'll give you time and a half. Forget the day off. I got time to work.
Amen.
Put
Amen.
Some more in my pocket.
Amen.
Some more me gospel. Then I got time.
Amen.
Simon come up to Peter and he said, how is it that you're praying for these folks and getting them this gift? I'll give you some money so that you can give it to me and then I can give it out.
Yeah.
And Peter said, let your money perish with you.
Yeah.
You ain't learned a thing, Simon.
Yeah.
You ain't heard a thing we've been preaching.
No.
You might have come to the altar for a little while, but you're still allowing yourself to be flesh driven.
Amen.
You need to make some changes.
Amen.
He said, pray. Pray, Amen. I believe what he said.
Amen.
We'll go to Acts here.
Laughing Lord.
Yeah.
Laughing Lord.
I believe it's Acts chapter 8 if you want to turn there. If you don't, I'll read it to you. How's that?
Laughing Lord.
In Acts chapter 8, said Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money.
Amen.
Thou had, boy, this is what I like.
Laughing Lord.
This is what I like. Peter stood and declared something to be the truth in the middle of a crowd. Now, I don't believe God's out to embarrassing His people. I don't believe that for a minute. But if you're going to act up in a crowd, you're going to get corrected in a crowd.
Yeah.
And Peter said, thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God.
Yeah.
Boy, what an astounding statement for him to make. But he didn't leave it there. He said, repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray. If perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven.
Bless you, Lord.
Not the action, not what you did, but what's inside of you, see? You've got to allow God to deal with your heart.
Yeah.
And when you give something, you don't sit there and analyze it and say, well, that's good for this one. Boy, I wish so-and-so was in church today so they could hear that word.
Bless you, Lord. Yeah.
Boy, when we think that, we're the ones need to hear it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We done pass judgment on people. Maybe if we would just slow down a little bit and allow the journey that we have with Jesus and walking with Jesus, that we don't end up betraying Him as Judas did. Maybe in our journeys with Jesus, as we're going day by day and week by week, coming into the house of the Lord, that we allow the Word of the Lord to actually change our lives. And not try to figure out how far and what I can do to manipulate it to get it what I want.
Yeah.
We got to allow the journey with Jesus to change us, or that death sentence is not going to be something that we're going to be ready for. We're going to be without. I'm sure all of those criminals on death row are really sorry when they're getting strapped in that chair.
Amen.
I believe when they sat down and that their arms are like this and that thing slaps around their arms and they put that little helmet with all them wires on their head, I'm sure that they're sorry about a lot of things, but they never made it right.
Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord.
Not to mankind. You can't. When you got that death penalty on you, you can't make it right. You can't pay your debt to society.
No.
Aren't you glad that you have a death sentence on you? But there is a governor that is waiting. He is waiting for the day that you arrive for your judgment and says, I got you covered.
Bless.
Amen.
He said, I know that's where all of the screaming and the yelling and the torment is, but you don't have to worry. You ain't going there.
Bless, Lord. Bless, Lord.
Just because I took you at your word when you cried out and said, save me, Lord.
Amen.
Are we allowing Jesus to change us? Well, then we have another group, the disobedient group. And this is the one that I really want to hang my hat on. Let's look at Jonah.
Now, Jonah was a prophet. Jonah, out of all of the prophets that was living at that time, we use Jonah to preach to people that are backslid and people that are running from God and all of this such. But we have to remember one thing. Jonah must have been the man, or God wouldn't have never called him
Amen.
To turn out an
Amen.
Entire city
Amen.
Filled with sin.
Amen.
So apparently he must have been God's man, or he never called on him, right? Jonah chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Verse number 3. But Jonah rose up and went straight to Nineveh and did everything that the Lord told him to. Is that what your Bible reads? Or does it say, but Jonah rose up and fled to Tarshish?
Amen.
From the presence of God.
Mm-hmm.
How many of us today know for certain that the Lord is telling us to do this or that, but we absolutely refuse to submit to the name of the Lord and the calling that God has us? Just like Jonah, the Lord says you need to do this, and we say, nope, I'll go the opposite. Nothing wrong with going to Tarsus. You can go to Tarsus. I'm sure a lot of people went to Tarsus. I'm sure it wasn't the only boat going to Tarsus. I'm sure you can get in line and buy your ticket and hop on a boat and go to Tarsus anytime you want to. Might be a big vacation city. Maybe you want to go there for vacation. Maybe it's the best fish market in the world. Go to Tarsus and enjoy the time. They had the boat loaded up with goods to trade. Maybe it's a big shop, but maybe Tarsus has the best mall you've ever been in.
Last one.
Nothing wrong with going to Tarsus. Until the Lord tells you to go to Nineveh.
Amen.
And when you know, just like you said, brother, being in the house of the Lord, when you know that you need to be in Nineveh, Tarsus is not where you need to be. And just like Jonah, most of the time, we'll go straight to Tarsus, we'll drop down on our knees and say, God, bless me right here in my disobedience, not in my obedience, not in me following you, but in me going away from the presence of the Lord.
Nothing more.
If God won't do it, we'll pacify our flesh. We'll make it okay. When I get there, I'll make my own money, and I'll say, the Lord bless me.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
blessing more.
God can bless us with money, but let me tell you what. There's a lot of lost people that work with me, and they get paychecks too.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
We need to realize, what is it that the church can offer the people in this world? We're good at telling them about a benefits package. Why, brother, you come to the Lord, you get healed, God will pay your bills, everything will be great.
Bless the Lord.
And they come to the Lord, and they don't get healed, and God don't pay their bills, and then what? They get out of church.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
We can't offer them that benefits package. It's not ours.
I
tell them, you get saved, you might have some struggles. If you got debt, you're going to have to pay it.
Last one.
Instead of sitting up in there and saying, going to foreclose on my house, devil is a liar. Devil ain't a liar, it's a true report.
Mm-hmm.
You got it right there in your hand.
Yeah.
Because you overspent. Ain't the devil, it's you.
Amen.
Make good decisions.
Amen.
If you was following God,
Amen.
And you was in Nineveh,
Amen.
And not in Tarsus, you wouldn't be in that shape.
Amen. Amen.
But no, you decided to go to Tarsus and not Nineveh.
Amen.
You knew it was away from the presence of God. You decided to go there.
Amen.
That's the truth.
Amen. You're on it for yourself.
So then here we are. We're stuck. What do we offer people? I tell them I can't guarantee you nothing. Matter of fact, I'm going to take some away from you. I'm going to take a day of your life away from you to spend in the Lord. I'm going to tell you straight up, you need to be in the house of the Lord. There's
last one, amen.
Tell you every time. I don't
amen.
Back up from it. I know it to be the truth. And if I know something to be the truth, how can I deny it? How can I say no? Because because I care a great deal for you, brother. I'm not going to tell you the truth. I'm just going to let you perish and you figure it out.
Amen.
How many of you, that little girl was up here digging that money up out of that baggie? If we was all standing out there on the porch, all of us men folk ladies were standing out there, and Sheila, you step out the door, and she's standing in the road, and there's a car coming, and we're just sitting there saying, well, she'll figure it out. Just love her. Holler out there, Tony, tell her how much you love her, and she'll know to get out of the road. If she don't, she'll get run over, and then she'll know if she lives through it. We cannot allow Christian, young Christian babes in Christ anymore to get run over by this world and say, well, just dust yourself off and come back in.
That's Lord.
We need to give them the gospel of what we have.
Amen.
I tell them, I promise you a benefits package that is out of this world.
Amen. Blessing them.
And when you die, you'll never get sick again. You won't have to worry about nothing. Brother, there won't be no back surgery.
Amen. Amen.
There won't be no ointment for my lupus. There won't be... Can we go on? How many of us got them little brown bottles that we got to go to the pharmacy and get?
Amen. Amen.
Pharmacists are unemployed in heaven.
Praise God.
Don't have a job. That pharmacist might get up to heaven and say, well, that's all I've done all my life. I don't know what else to do. He'll say, go sing. Think of all the doctors. They ain't going to have nothing to do.
Amen. Bless them.
You're not going to wake up with your aches and your pains. And more than anything else, you're going to be in the presence of everyone who has accepted Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
But if you don't, you don't follow Jesus, you don't accept Him, you live in disobedience, I will tell you this, and I make no beans about it. I can't put you in heaven, and I can't put you out of heaven. But I will tell you this, in your heart, every single individual that is sitting in here this morning, you know whether you're in Tarsus or Nineveh.
Bless you.
You know beyond a shadow of a doubt whether you're doing and living like you know that you need to do.
Amen.
You don't need me to put you there.
Amen. Bless you.
And if you perish, and there's a question in me, and folks say, well, you know, that they're in a better place. I have to say, people, I don't know. I don't know. I can't tell you this. I know that they stand before a just and a right God.
Bless you, Lord.
I know that His judgment will be sure, will be just, and will be quick. I know that He's not going to look at you and say, well, you were saved dearer than somebody else. You can come in. But now you wasn't quite as saved. No.
Either you were or were not.
That's it, brother. Either you are or you ain't.
Last
Jesus one. Said it. And you don't need me again to declare whether or not you're in or out.
Yeah.
You know. Because God has said something within you.
Mm-hmm.
Something within you that tells you that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you get to where you like other people in the Bible. I believe it's Nadab and Abihu. You find out you get like him. And Nadab and Abihu was the sons of Aaron. And they just decided, well, like a lot of people do today, I serve God my own way. This word from cover to cover declares unto me that is not so. It is His way or it is no way.
Amen.
It is not my own way. They went in and said, we'll just deliver this fire. This is our fire. We'll put it on the altar. We'll burn the incense and we'll do it our way. God killed them. For delivering strange fire on the altar.
That's right.
I believe Ezra had good intentions when he said, I'll just study it. I know what the Bible says, but I'm just going to hold the ark. When he went against what God said, he got destroyed.
Amen. That's right.
Saul said, well, Samuel's not here. Maybe I should just step in and do things. I can serve God just as good as the priest can, even though God has ordained for me not to do this. I'm going on to Tarsus.
Yeah.
Saul said, I'll step into office and I'll just lift up my own sacrifice. And Samuel would come in and say, what have you done? We got King Uzziah who done the same thing. I'll go in, I'll offer incense. I'm as good as anybody else. I can do what I want. And a priest come in and said, you shouldn't have never done that. King, you shouldn't have never done that.
Last word.
I don't care that you rule everybody. You can't go against the mighty God.
Amen.
You may have all authority. You may have all money. You may be able to buffalo everybody and run them over. But you cannot go against God.
Bless. Amen.
And he began to get mad. And God's judgment broke out on him right then. Mm-hmm. Leprosy. What a judgment to have to live. And now he can never hug his children again. He can't be around his wife. Because when you were a leper, you got put into the leper's house and you stayed there until you died. Or until God healed you, one or the other. What a terrible thing when you decide, I can serve God on my own.
That's right.
I don't need the church. What if everybody in church thought that?
That's right.
I'm telling you, get that to folks. Tell them.
Bless you, Lord.
The day may come when the church may not be there.
Yeah.
We're fortunate enough that we live in a country where there's churches all over.
Bless, amen, Terry.
Well, if we go on vacation, we can find a church. You don't have to drive far down any road, in any direction, anywhere you go in America, that you don't find a church.
Amen.
There's no excuse.
Yeah.
I see people come back from vacation to church and say, was you at church Sunday?
Bless, Lord.
They said, no, we was on vacation. No, I said, was you in church? It's crazy of me to think that my ice cream parlor over in Hillview is the only one where anybody's going to get the Word of God. But if my flavor is not your flavor, not the one you like, go find one. There's plenty of them out there. And just because you're away from home, don't mean that you're away from God.
That's anymore.
Or does it? Does it mean that we have so great a salvation that we can just walk away from it for a week? God understands. That one fellow tell me, he said, I go to the beach. I wouldn't wear that up here, but nobody knows me down there. I said, let me tell you something.
God does.
If somebody knows you.
Amen.
And how embarrassed you going to be, I didn't even go into what he wore, but you trolloping down that beach, and Bill that works with you says, hey, I didn't know you was coming here. And you go, too late. Too late. How bad would it have been for Jonah if Jonah would have been in Tarsus and death would have come up and said, it's your time.
Yeah.
He didn't even make it to Tarsus. And death said, it's your time. The only way you're going to get this water straightened out is throw him overboard.
That's what.
They threw him overboard. Swallowed. Now I know there's a lot of theological debate whether Jonah died or not in the belly of the well. But he tells me that in hell he lifted up his eyes. Having the stuff all torn round about him.
Amen. Amen.
Can Jonah actually die and God bring him back to life? You better believe he can. Jesus did it. It's when he cried out in mercy and he said, God, I don't care what. I'll follow you now. I understand that you're true. I didn't want to go over there and help them people because I know you. You're a merciful God. And I don't like them people. And I just assume they all be killed. And I know your judgment is true. And if nobody preaches to them, you'll have to kill them. And I don't want to go there. But I will. We know the fish vomited him up on the bank. There's Jonah smelling like vomit. Don't know how far he got to walk. But he goes into Nineveh and begins to follow the will of God. And through him following the will of God, many were saved.
Amen.
So many that the entire city changed its direction. Are we sitting on the best thing that we could possibly have and keeping it a secret?
Bless you, Lord.
Because we don't want to offend somebody.
We can't be who we are because somebody might get upset at us. Why, if I say something to them, they might get offended. Well, Lord, if Tony preaches this morning, he's liable to offend them. The Bible tells me in word Jesus offended many.
Amen.
Because he told them the truth. I'll be the first to tell you, I'll get the first in line. Since I've been saved, this book has been offensive to me.
Yeah.
I have read things in it and said, I don't want to do this.
Yeah. That's important.
I've read stuff in it, and I said, maybe it's for somebody else. Surely it's okay for me. I've been doing it this long. Why would it be any different?
Yeah.
Well, why could God grow me up?
Yeah. I know what you mean.
When she was a little brother, and y'all go out and just smear food all over her face and all over the table, it's cute. Y'all in somewhere tomorrow, and she did the same thing, it's cute. You was held down to get the camera. Ain't she just cute as thing? Because there's a time. It's time to grow up. I imagine if she stuck her hand in her food and grabbed it up like this, first thing you said, what are you doing? Shortly followed by, you know better. And I wonder how many times the Spirit of God says, what are you doing? You know better. Going to Tarsus because I don't want to go to Nineveh. I'm going to walk in disobedience. And let me tell you something, God. You're going to bless me in it. Remember when God told the children of Israel at one time. He said, go and have your feast. Have your celebration. Feel good. I ain't got no part about it. We can't walk in disobedience. And Lord, if we're... And I tell you, I'll be the first to tell you right away. I can't say 100% where you stand if you're walking in disobedience to what the Lord tells you. If you've cried out and claimed the name of Jesus and you decide to walk apart from Him, do your own thing, go your own way, and you die, all I can say is you stand before a just God.
Bless you, Lord. Yeah.
I can tell you for me, I know what my belief is.
Yeah.
If I don't follow God to the best of my the best that I can do, exhort every possibility that I have. If I don't listen intently to the Spirit and follow where He's leading me, I can expect trouble on this life.
Bless you, Lord.
If I can expect trouble on this life, why wouldn't I expect trouble in the next one?
Bless you.
I don't want to be the one standing before God and say, boy, I sure hope I make it. We should have a salvation so sure that we know we've come to an altar of repentance.
Yeah.
And regardless of what I face,
yeah,
I can come boldly,
yeah,
before the throne.
Amen.
I don't know. I don't know how long I have. I might get to live to be, I don't know how old the oldest person here, I may live to be 80 years old. And if I am, you'll still see me in the pulpit and I'll still be saying, get right, Jesus is coming.
Blessing more. Blessing more.
But you know what? And we're callous to this. We've heard this so much, we're callous to it. This could be the last time y'all ever see me. Next thing you all hear could be, did you hear Brother Terry die?
Amen. Amen.
I prefer it to be, did you hear Brother Terry went home to be with the Lord? I tell Cheryl, have a celebration. Play some praise music. I endure to the end.
Nothing more.
I'm sorry for those that I leave behind, but oh my goodness, what a joy I've gained.
Mm-hmm.
I've believed all this time. I've trusted Jesus all this time.
Yeah.
What a great thing that I've gained. But we hear that you could die before you go home so much. Let's be honest. We're in church. Let's be honest. Aren't we somewhat callous to it? Well, yeah. It's okay to say yeah. Unless I'm the only one that feels that way a lot. Before His service is over, you can go home and be with the Lord and relate. Yeah.
That's the truth.
But I wonder if we ever really thought before this is over, my last breath, like I told them, what was it, last Sunday, I guess it was, them people that was going across that bridge up there at collapse.
Mm-hmm.
I believe them people had every intention of going to work and having lunch and coming home and eating mm-hmm. supper. And eight of them are before God saying, wait a minute, God. Now, wait. And to be honest with you, anybody that dies in a single car wreck, I guess when a person dies, it don't matter how many goes with you. The fact is that you're the one that's dead. And I wonder how many people will go out this Sunday, when I lay my head down this evening and go to sleep, how many people would have died standing before God saying, God, now wait! Now you know I was going to do that. I didn't mean to go to Tarsus. I know I bought a house in Tarsus. I know I got a job in Tarsus. I know I did, but I was going to go to Nineveh one day. I believe hell's full of people that had good intentions.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Everybody in hell is a believer now. The fellow I work with, and if he was sitting right there on the front row, he'd tell you the same thing, and I'd tell you if he was sitting here. When you get to hell, you'll believe. There won't be no more doubt.
Yeah.
Amen.
It'll be all over with.
Amen.
You won't need no proof.
No.
And I said, brother, Bill's his name. I said, Bill, you know the saddest thing, the thing that bothers me the most? When I get to heaven, you're not there, I won't have no memory of it.
No.
When I go through there, all the former things are passed away.
Last one.
I'll only recognize those who are there. When I look at you, sis, I'll know you as you are. But all of those that don't make it. There's no memory. And if I understand the Bible right, there's a great gulf fixed.
Amen.
Yeah.
Where there's no going back and forth.
Amen.
I know it makes for good movies, but that's not gospel.
No.
And if I understand the parable of the Lord right, those that are in torment can see those that are in peace.
That's amen.
Can you imagine seeing heaven and never, ever being able to go there for all eternity? Why? Well, let's go back to our scripture. John chapter 3, verse number 18. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Jesus said, why call you me Lord and do not the things I say? You know He can only be Lord over your life if you let Him. You have to allow Him to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So how is it with your death sentence? Is it that we have a possibility that we can be like those prisoners and sadly await as we move closer and closer to death? Some even fight when they come to get them. But it's a sure thing. The order's already been handed down.
Bless Him, Lord.
Or we can be like the Apostle Paul. They said when they started down the hall to get him and they opened up that gate, they didn't have to leave him. He ran. Ready to be given for God. He knew where he was going. Read Fox's Book of Martyr at the hundreds and hundreds of people who have died for the Lord and said, this ain't nothing. This is deliverance. Death is coming. Every one of us. I know my family, all of us here, we've had some medical scares. Boy, when you get scared by the doctor, I get right for a minute. Everybody clean off the altar. I lay down on there. God, I promise you. I promise you all of it. And then as we get better, we get further. Well, God, you know. You understand. Push it further away. Further away. And His voice gets fainter and fainter.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
So where are you? Are you on your way to Tarsus? Or are you on your way to Nineveh? Are you after the presence of God? Or are you going away from it?
Yeah.
There's no standing still. He said, if you're lukewarm, if you are in that, and you think you can get by with it, spew you out of your mouth.
Amen. Yeah.
Now, if I had a cake here,
and I passed it out to everybody, and nobody ate it, how could you spew it out of your mouth? It's first got to be in there, don't it?
Mm-hmm.
He's not writing that to lost folk. You got to be in God before you can be spewed out. Something got to be in your body before you can spew it out.
Amen.
He said, if you're lukewarm, I spew you out.
Mm-hmm.
Heard a preacher preach a message on that one time. Said, it's the one thing that makes God sick that man does.
Last one.
And it's not take him seriously. So I don't know. I'm done.
Last one.
It rests in your lap. That's totally up to you. I don't, like I said, I don't get a cookie.